Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Demand for COVID-19 testing is on the rise in Illinois, and that will likely continue with an expected post-holiday surge in cases related to indoor gatherings and travel over the Thanksgiving holiday. But as important as testing is in tracing and preventing outbreaks of the virus, there are disparities in access to testing across communities in Illinois. Kristen Schorsch covers public health for WBEZ's government desk and has been reporting on inequality when it comes to COVID-19 testing access. Kristen, welcome back to the 21st.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'd also like to welcome two guests who have been working to expand testing in their region. Jessica Brinkworth is a bioanthropologist and assistant professor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And Cora Maldonado is a cultural anthropologist and assistant clinical professor at the U of I. They're part of the Labor Health Equity Action Project, which has been organizing free, voluntary, pop-up COVID-19 testing sites in Rantoul to reach underserved and marginalized populations. Thank you both for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here. And listeners, if you have had trouble accessing a timely COVID-19 test or just any experience with testing for COVID-19 in Illinois, we want to hear from you. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have had trouble accessing testing for COVID-19, you can also tweet us at 21st Show. Kristen, what are the current options someone has if they do want to get tested for COVID-19?
Right. Well, you can go to one of the free government sites. So the Illinois Department of Public Health has a number of sites set up around the state. If you're closer to Chicago, the Chicago Department of Public Health has many free sites as well. So these are typically for people, well, they're really for anybody, but the Chicago, at least, is really imploring people who have private insurance to go to their doctor's office or to a private clinic like Walgreens or CVS. So you have free options. You have these private options with your doctor or with the clinics, but just across the board, it is incredibly hard to get a test. So a lot of people who have private insurance because they can't get into their doctor's office or they can't get into a clinic, they're going to the free sites. So really that's creating, all of these people coming together to the free sites is creating a big bottleneck.
And you mean literally a bottleneck. There are cars out onto the roads at some of these places, traffic jams trying to get in.
Oh, blocks and blocks of traffic. I mean, one of our photographers took a drone photos of this. You could see cars for miles. Elsewhere in the state, I've seen on social media, some of the free government sites, they'll open up at, say 7 a.m. and they shut down, less than 2 hours later just because they ran out of capacity. A big thing here is not just, obviously having a location to go to, but do those locations have enough testing supplies and do they have enough staff? Staffing has been a really critical thing here.
Jessica, I wonder if you heard similar stories about testing access in Urbana-Champaign, at least outside of people affiliated with the university, which has its own extensive testing system.
Yeah, we have one site for testing that's open to the public outside of like requests that you can make to your doctor at the Marketplace Mall here. And yeah, similarly, we heard lots of stories about backed up traffic that had taken several hours to get a test completed. And then on top of that, there's been change in management and change in process a few times. So it varies pretty substantially, week to week.
Cora, can you talk about the Labor Health Equity Action Project? As I understand it, has set up some mobile sites in Rantoul. For our listeners who aren't from this part of the state, can you tell us a little bit about Rantoul and why that is the site of testing?
Yes. So Rantoul is a town that's around 18 miles from Champaign, Champaign State University town. And it's a community, very vibrant community, but one that, has... a lot of workforce that works in different corporations, different pork plants, manufacturing industries. And it's one that doesn't have a testing site near, besides the Champaign one that's 18 miles away. It doesn't have anything around there. We had the first outbreak around this area in Illinois there. And we rapidly saw that that was going to become a site where we needed to at least think about how to bring testing, because some of us have worked there before and we knew there was, lack of transportation. There's not like a public bus to Champaign. And people have difficulties coming to Champaign, plus many other barriers that come along as language barriers. So it's a community that has a lot of diversity and many languages, and it's not as easy as we think to access testing, even if you have it 18 miles away, but that's significantly far away from many people.
And you mentioned pork meat processing. Does that mean there's a lot of farm workers, migrant workers in the area?
There's a lot of farm workers, migrant workers we have. So it's a very large, diverse workforce. So you have migrants that come for the summer to do the tasseling and work in the corporations. And then we have also just farm workers in the meat processing plants. And that has, we knew that combination of labor force was complicated and required kind of some sort of, trying to research and understand how, being the first hotspots and being the first outbreak, we wanted to understand how that was, what was going to look throughout the region.
Kristen, you've reported on disparities when it comes to testing. Latinos, for example, have been tested at much lower rates in Illinois. What is the disparity there? Do we know what accounts for it?
There are lots of theories about that. It could be, geographic access to testing. How close is there a testing facility to your house? But at the same time, I talked to a lot of people about this and researchers and the public health departments and then people trying to get tested themselves. Location is just one thing. It doesn't mean you actually qualify to get a test there. So you could, if you don't have symptoms, for example, you might not be able to get a test just because there aren't enough supplies or staff to have them. If you're a kid, it's incredibly hard to find a testing facility that will test a child. The free sites obviously do, but, as I mentioned, you could be waiting in line for a couple of hours and then you might have to go home and get turned away because they just ran out of capacity. A lot of private doctor's offices, a lot of the pediatricians, they don't test in the office. And some of the big children's hospitals, like Lurie Children's in Chicago, pediatricians will send you their way, but they don't test. They largely do not test asymptomatic kids. So in terms of just like that, when you think about the disparities, it could be that it's one of those things, a variety of factors. It could also be like in Chicago, for example, on the southwest side, it's one of the biggest areas of where the positivity rates in the city are just among the highest. It's also home to communities with a lot of essential workers. So if you think about testing facilities that are only open like 9 to 5, well, if you're an essential worker, you might not be able to go in those hours. So you're going to have to wait and maybe go on a weekend to one of the free government sites. We also have to remember that maybe some people don't want to be tested. They might think that it's not necessary, or they might decide to stay home and quarantine instead, knowing it's going to be really hard to get a test. Because the other thing is the results are taking a really long time to get back. I was just talking with one of my son's friend's moms, and she said it took her 2 weeks to get his test results back. He'd been quarantining, but by then it was like, okay, well, thanks for the reassurance, I don't have COVID. So there are a variety of factors. Yeah, and statewide, Latinos are the most under-tested. In Chicago, it's Latinos and Black Chicagoans. And this is even true in areas where there are really high positivity rates. So you might just have a real bottleneck of a lot of people wanting to get tested as well in those communities, and there's just not enough capacity.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about unequal access to COVID-19 testing in Illinois. We're joined by WBEZ reporter Kristen Schorsch, who covers public health. And we're also talking with two anthropology professors at the U of I, Jessica Brinkworth and Cora Maldonado. They're with a group of professors who are working to expand testing for COVID-19 to the broader community in Champaign County. Jessica, you're hoping to add more testing in Champaign County. Can you tell us about where specifically you wanna you're focusing?
So, yeah. So just to be clear, we're working largely in Rantoul at the moment because we were asked to. It came down through the university administration to the Institute of Genomic Biology, where I'm in a research theme called Infection Genomics for One Health, where another colleague who's part of this group works, Rachel Whitaker, she's a microbiologist that leads that theme. And we were asked to take a look at what was happening in meatpacking plants and in the agricultural industry in Champaign. So our focus at the moment has been largely Rantoul, but the CU PhD has cooperated and assisted and supported us in this effort and has asked us to expand a little bit in December into Champaign and into Urbana to bring not just free COVID testing, but flu shots to the same underserved communities. And to add to Kristen's point, one of the reasons why we're focusing on these communities is because historically, they're at the highest risk for sepsis. They're largely underserved, and that's one of the reasons why they're at risk for severe infections like sepsis, and that's the end point for COVID. But even if you just look at this, the CDC's data at the moment on who's affected, Black, Indigenous, and people of color are disproportionately affected by COVID, that disproportionately get it and are also deeply, deeply underserved for testing. So that's part of our motivation.
Cora, how about you? Why did you decide to get involved in this effort to expand testing?
Well, I've worked in different capacities in the county. I worked in Rantoul as well. And I knew the community and somewhat the needs of the community. And I thought it was something that I definitely wanted to contribute to. I also work around language access, and I know that's a critical point here. I think what we have seen this past month and a half, 2 months that we've been trying to offer some testing was that people are, one, intimidated by the process. They don't understand the process. Two, a lot of people might not even know how to read and write. So just filling out the forms becomes complicated. It's complex, right? And then if you don't speak the language, there's no way you're going to step there. You know, you're not going to go. Then transportation is an issue. So there's all these combinations of issues that, you know, make the test inaccessible to people. And I just really wanted to jump in there and try to figure out what we could bring to the communities. And we're working alongside community members and organizations. So we're not figuring this out by ourselves. This is something that we're working with, again, with CU PhD, with the university, but also with several community members that work with us together and help us think through, you know, what site is the best to have, for example, a pop-up COVID test site. And it's been significantly different than just having a particular site established, right? You go where it's needed. And I think that we hope that that's what we can, that's something that has provided the community some relief, at least in terms of testing.
Can I add to that for a minute?
Please go ahead.
So I just wanted to say, like, we have done this, like Cora was saying, with an exceptional amount of assistance from our community research assistants, but we're a team now. We started off as a team of like four anthropologists, myself and Cora and Ellen Moody and Gilberto Rosas, also in the Department of Anthropology, and Rachel in the Department of Microbiology and Cellular Biology. And we're now a team of 25 people that's largely comprised of student volunteers that help run these sites. We're every single time we set up, it's almost every single time it's a different site And so it's been this really interesting learning experience for us, but also has shown us that the need is so high in communities like Rantoul, because they're largely populated by essential workers, a lot of them in ag, but in other locations as well. And because it is such a diverse community, one of the bigger findings that came out of the CDC in the last couple of months in terms of the work that we're doing is that it showed that high risk people of color were much more likely to be living with an essential worker, and essential workers are at much higher risk for COVID. And so so in combination, like this big team that we now have that's growing has been really concerned with not just rolling out testing, but the original question also of mitigation. How do you handle an outbreak in a town of so many essential workers?
That's a fascinating question. We're going to take a break here. We need to take a break for our member stations. We're going to continue this conversation after that. We're speaking with Kristen Schorsch, who covers public health and government for WBEZ Public Radio in Chicago, and also two anthropology professors at the U of I, Jessica Brinkworth and Cora Maldonado. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about unequal access to COVID-19 testing in Illinois with WBEZ reporter Kristen Schorsch, who covers public health. We're also talking with two anthropology professors at the U of I, Jessica Brinkworth and Cora Maldonado. They're with a group from the university who are working to expand testing for COVID-19 in Rantoul and soon other places in Champaign County. Listeners, if you have had an experience with getting access to COVID-19, even if it's meant just waiting in a long line of traffic to get in to get tested, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Cora, you mentioned earlier the language barrier, and we had a conversation months ago on this show about particularly the language barrier with reaching Spanish people who are mainly Spanish speakers with good information about COVID-19. Do you have a sense of, is that still a problem in terms of getting information out there, factual information out there about what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, the issue is not all, I mean, it's, yes, I think it's still an issue, although, you know, you can find the information online, you can find it in our public health webpage here in the county as well. They have the language, different language materials. The thing is just, I mean, in some cases, they don't log into those particular pages. I mean, how the information is circulated or is accessed is very different. So I think there's still a barrier along those sides. And even if you have it, again, the issue is that people are not going to go to the testing because they're not going to be, it's not announced as if they have interpreters in the site. And we have like the direct experience with Rantoul. When as soon as we started announcing it in Spanish, we saw a big chunk of the population that was being tested being Spanish speakers. And then we have the issue that it's not only Spanish, right? We have indigenous languages. You have a lot of different Mayan languages, specifically Canjobal, and you have Quiche, you have Cachiquel, you have Chuj, that don't speak necessarily Spanish, or if they speak it, it's not necessarily, as good as the same variant that we're putting out there in the materials. And you have Lingala. I mean, you have all this range of languages that are not necessarily fully covered, right, in terms of information that's being out there. And none in the testing sites, it's not there. You know, the consent forms are not in any of these languages. The information of the people that's going to test you are not going to speak any of those languages. So that's, for me, that's a huge, huge, huge barrier at this point.
And that seems to be, I mean, I would imagine that's a broader problem than just COVID-19 in terms of public health.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just very clear now, I guess you can see.
Yeah, right. I don't think people would necessarily appreciate or understand that there were so many languages beyond just Spanish given to the various places that people come from. Kristen, what has been the response from people since your story about testing access was first published?
Well, I'm getting a lot of feedback of people sharing their experience. You know, people who are just confused by the whole system. I mean, healthcare is already really confusing, right? But to try and actually find where can I get a COVID test has been really, really difficult. So I'm hearing a lot of people's experiences. I'm hearing really, really long waits. I'm hearing about people, you know, someone emailed me and said, I waited 5 hours at one of the government sites and then I got turned away and like, I had to take the day off of work. So people are really frustrated. Like the people who are making an effort to get a COVID test is, you know, it's just been really daunting. Now, I did want to point out too, another barrier that we just didn't address, and I'll be brief with this, is pay. You know, we've all been told by the federal government that COVID-19 testing is supposed to be free. But that's not necessarily the case. You know, I talked to some pediatricians whose patients are on Medicaid, and this also would apply to adults on Medicaid. That's the government health insurance for people who are low income or disabled. And right now, the federal government has not created a way for doctors to essentially bill and get paid back for the rapid antigen test. So these are these tests that you can find out if you have COVID, you know, in 15 minutes or so. So doctors can't provide that rapid test to people who have Medicaid. That's a big chunk of the population. In Illinois, I believe 1 in 4 people have Medicaid. So right there, there's another hurdle. If you go to, I was looking up this morning just to check around on access, you know, Walgreens is posting prices for their test. The PCR test, which is the gold standard, you know, that a lot of researchers are saying is the best test for COVID to get, is the most accurate, is $129. So if you don't have insurance, are you going to go to that clinic and get a test and then get a bill thinking it's free, right? So pay has been a huge barrier. That's something I'm also hearing from people is they share their experiences with not just long lines, but waiting for results is, you know, that backlog is getting further and further down the road. It's used to take, you know, maybe you'd get your test results in 48 hours. Now some people are waiting 7 to 10 days, and it really is dependent on where you get your test. It's, you know, some of the bigger health systems, the big hospital systems, can turn around results faster than an immediate care center, for example.
Jessica, I'm wondering, last question to you here. As a bioanthropologist, I wonder, how do you view testing access going forward? What do you hope to see change?
I hope what I want to see is a national plan, right? I think that's so necessary. One of the things that a national plan would incorporate would be funding two states, for example, to have better resolution on testing across the state. So right now, as Kristen noted in her article, there's like most of the geographic space in Illinois, there's at least 10 miles between any one individual and a testing center. So that's a very, very first thing, is just some coordinated national plan around the funding and distribution of funds for testing and standards by which, you know, states have to meet for testing. Illinois has done a fantastic job, but like it's on its own, you know, that's not the way that this is supposed to work. And then I guess additionally, you know, right now, our effort, this is on top of our regular jobs. So Cora and I are also still doing research and teaching and service. And then this is like on top of that. And so one of the things I would like to see is some sort of plan that deals with rural areas and people in need that reduces these barriers of language and access. For totally free testing, where all someone needs to provide is a name and contact information. So without insurance information, if this is a possibility, and I might be just being naive, but this is I think the best way to lower barriers for people offered on weekends and at different times of day in at need communities, or, you know, communities that are in need. That to me is the main way, that the main tool we have right now for combating the spread of the disease. But on top of that, it's laying really important groundwork. Going out into communities is laying really important groundwork for when a vaccine is distributed.
Yeah, an important thing. We're going to have to know how to reach people in order to get that to them.
Yes, exactly. Can I just quickly add to this? Because I think it's really important. So when I said that we offer it for free, we only do ask for two pieces of information from people. So we need to be able to phone them, and we need to be able to identify that they're the person that took the test. So we ask for those two pieces of info, and that's it. And we've been able to do that because of money that was given to us from within the University of Illinois, from the College of Agriculture and Consumer Environmental Sciences, the Office of the Vice Chancellor of Research, and the Institute for Genomic Biology, who all gave us money to specifically offer like lower barrier testing. Does that make any sense?
It does.
So it allows us to lower these barriers to get to these people in need. We've had anonymous donors as well, which has been really helpful.
And we're going to have to leave that there. Jessica Brinkworth is a bioanthropologist, and Cora Maldonado is a cultural anthropologist. They're both on the faculty at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, where they're involved with the Labor Health Equity Action Project. And Kristen Schorsch has been with us. She covers public health on WBEZ's government desk. Kristen, Jessica, and Cora, thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you. Thanks for having us
so much.
Thank you so much.